Hello, I'm Terry Copeland Pearsons. You know, everything I've ever taught or written about prayer over the years, including what you will read in my new book, can be traced back to my grandmother, Vanetta Copeland. Not because she formally taught me about prayer, but because she lived it and I watched it. There isn't anything Vanetta Copeland had with God that everyone else can't have. There isn't anything in God that's happened to her or to me that couldn't happen to you. My prayer is that you will launch into new places in the Spirit and that prayer will become for you more than ever before a living, life-changing encounter with Him.
Order An Encounter with Him, the new book by Terry Copeland Pearsons, for only $24.95 on kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395.
We're so glad that you joined us for this episode of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Pastor George Pearsons. This is my wife, Pastor Terry Copeland Pearsons. I like to do her that way.
I know, but I love it. I love that heritage. I love the physical DNA. I love the spiritual DNA.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I appreciate my upbringing.
Yeah, you want to tell them what you want to put on your headstone?
Yeah, somebody said to me one time I was in college and I started teaching Bible studies and so forth around campus, and somebody said, oh, you need your own identity. You need to do things, you know, and find your own self. I said, are you kidding? If I didn't have the last name Copeland, nobody would care a flip about what I have to say. I don't care if on my tombstone they put right there, here lies Kenneth Copeland's daughter. And since then, that epitaph has really grown. It was Vanetta Copeland's granddaughter, Kenneth Copeland's daughter, George Pearson's wife, Jeremy Pearson's mother, Aubrey Pearson's Mitchell's mother, and so on and so on. But I don't care.
So we're glad.
I love that.
We're glad that you've joined us for this broadcast. And we do want to thank Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for allowing us to be at this holy desk where they preach the uncompromised word of faith.
Feel it? You feel the vibe?
Yeah, I feel the vibe. It's good, too. And I want to remind you that all of the outlines that we're working with on this study are available to you absolutely free, kcm.org/notes. And we're talking about how to be strong in the end times. If you've not been able to tell by now, we are in the end times.
I know. If you haven't picked up on that,
wow.
You need to check your spiritual clock, you know.
There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things that are happening, and that's why it is so important that we learn how to develop our spirit, that we learn how to develop our faith, that we learn how to exercise our authority, and not just be casual Christians, which I think that's not even a good term, but to be on purpose, on point, and strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And be really disciplined about ourselves, because the things that we face in these times, these are dangerous times. And we have to be in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. And so in this study that we've been talking about for these last few weeks, how to be strong in the end times. And today, this is going to take 2 days for us to do, but we're calling it Enemies of a Strong Spirit.
You really need to know who your enemy is. My dad actually wrote a book, you can get this online, called The Troublemaker.
Yeah.
And that was one of his very first books back in, I don't know, maybe 1969 or 70. The Troublemaker. Why do you say that? Because there are so many people who are confused about who the troublemaker is. God did this, God did that, and they think God's the problem. He is not the problem. God is your help. And if you're confused about who the troublemaker is, boy, you really are as my mom used to say, in a world of hurt. So when we recognize where the enemies are, then we can do something about it.
Right.
You know, the Lord tells us in the Word that He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But that's part of being a believer, is then what we are responsible to do with that. That part is up to us. God will do His part faithfully and dynamically, but He expects us to do our part. And so that's a lot of what these last 3 weeks, by the time we're done, 3 weeks we've been taught. What is our part?
and developing that strong spirit. Mm-hmm. And a big part of it is understanding who the enemy is.
Yeah, what's going to drain us? What's going to keep us from being strong in the Lord? And so what I'd like to do is begin with Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And it says this, I like the Living Bible translation, first of all. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back. And especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. Now, in the Amplified Classic, it says this, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, so that we can run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. These are powerful scriptures, and they're so important for us to pay very close attention to, because we really do. We want to get rid of every weight.
Every weight. You know, George, it's funny, this morning, both of us tripped. It was a little trip.
I did.
Yes, I tripped over your briefcase. It was in the dark early this morning.
When did I trip?
We get up at before the
O'Down 100.
At O'Down 100, even before. And I walked into your office and Silly didn't turn on the light, and I tripped over your briefcase.
Yeah,
I tripped over that. But it's just small.
Yeah.
It's just a small thing.
Yeah.
But I tripped and I caught myself before I hit the floor. But then later, I had one of my bags sitting out for bringing things into the studio today, and you weren't looking at that, and your foot caught on the handle.
Oh, it did.
It had fallen over, and your foot caught on the handle.
Yes.
It's a little thing. It's just a little stretch.
Yep.
It's just a little thing.
Yeah.
But you know that little thing, but for the protection of the Lord and quick balance, could have been a real problem for me.
Absolutely.
Or for you.
Yeah.
Is this a little thing, a little trip, a little fall can have disastrous results. So we have to recognize these things, what Hebrews 12 said, they trip us up.
Yeah, they do. You can feed on the Word, you can exercise your faith, you can rest in the Lord, and yet still be weak because of things that deplete your spirit. I remember the first time I ever heard that phrase, depleting your spirit, and how important it is for us to know that there are things that can drain us of the effectiveness of how God wants us to be able to function. And a couple of examples here, it's like trying to fill a gas tank with a hole in it. It just keeps going in, but it goes out. It's trying to use a flashlight while it's needing to be recharged. It's trying to run a marathon, loaded down with heavy clothes. And all of these things, all of those things work against us. And that's what we're talking about. The things that work against us, and so if we can identify them, then we can uncover them and realize and recognize the things that we need to get rid of. So it's impossible to accomplish more spiritually. It is possible, rather, to accomplish more spiritually by eliminating all the unnecessary weights and not just the sin.
You know, notice he said that. I'll go back up there to Hebrews 12.
Mm-hmm.
In the Amplified Classic, it says, strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight.
Yep.
And the sin. Notice that there are two different things mentioned here, unnecessary weights and sins. So we want to point out that some of the different categories of those two, and the of course, I think most Christians have recognized what Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin or the result of sin, the fruit of sin, the product of sin is death. You know, God don't want you to sin, not because he don't want you to have any fun, but because it will kill you. And sin is very deceiving. It may look good, taste good, feel good, and be killing you all the while. And so that's why God wants us to not do things that are, he's identified for us. He makes it clear for us. You don't even have to guess what's a sin. But let's start looking at these two different categories, George, on weights.
Okay.
And sins.
Weights and sins.
So, and it's very interesting, and you'll notice this as we go through, that weights often lead to sin if they go unchecked.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, let's talk about an unnecessary weight, an overloaded life.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I get guilty as charged.
I know.
Yeah, we both.
We've been talking about this.
I know, we're on to each other about this. But you know, the thing of it is that while other people will overload your life, other things, circumstances, everybody, you know, society, what seems to be trendy, what everybody else is doing, and what everybody else wants you to do, all that, you still are in control of your life. And so these are things that we have to look to the Lord to help us in that leadership and how we are to take control. But
that's
an
right.
overloaded life, Luke 10:40, again in the Amplified Classic, but Martha, Jesus said to her,
Martha, Martha,
overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving.
Right.
Jesus went on to say to her, Martha, Martha, there's just one thing that's needful. And being over distracted, over busy, and not trusting in the Lord.
Yeah.
If we're over, you could be overloaded and think that there's no other way out, but we look to the Lord. This is why this becomes a problem, is because we are not looking to Him.
Yeah.
The Lord told my dad one time, He said, you're worn out and you're exhausted. And you think it's because of ministry, but you've added a lot of things to what I told you to do.
Wow.
If you do what I told you to do and nothing else, you won't be overloaded. So what is the problem? Too many irons in the fire, too many projects, overcommitted. Calendar is full all the time from early, you know, to late in the night. Be selective as to how you expend your spiritual energy. Now, all those things may think it's just natural energy that you're expending, but it's spiritual energy, because your natural life, physical, mental, emotional, it draws its ability from the life that's in your spirit, okay? And if you have diminishing life and strength in your spirit, then there's diminishing strength provided to your body and mind. And what happens is you become sick, overloaded, and unhealthy in body or in mind.
Yep.
So you have to be selective. And that takes faith and fellowship with the Father and following the Holy Spirit. Faith, fellowship, and follow. Or have fellowship and follow by faith. Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die, plain and simple. But if by the Spirit you put to death, or you don't let that do all the talking, you know, dead things don't talk. But if you, dead people don't talk to you. So, but if you say, that flesh doesn't get to have a voice in my decisions, I'm led by the Lord. And that's the reason for the Sabbath. And the Bible says to keep it holy. Now, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was distinctly a day, and it still should be. You still should do that. It still should be a time set apart from the Lord. Why we think that is the only one out of the 10 are no longer relevant.
Right, right.
But there is a Sabbath in the New Testament that we are to walk in, resting in Him every day. But you still have to honor the Sabbath and give your body and your mind opportunity to hear from the Lord and set that time aside so that you can walk in fellowship with Him.
Right.
So you leave these things, this overloaded life, unchecked. You just let it go. You let it run your life. Wear it like a badge. I've been known to do that. That's probably my weakest thing, is this. You wear that like a badge because you like it that you work hard and do a lot. Don't
And you
don't
let
waste.
Everybody know.
And you do not stop.
No, I didn't say you. I'm talking about you as like you out there, not you right here.
That's all right. I'll stand corrected. Sit
Continue.
Corrected. But what happens? It leads to sin. Having a consistently overloaded life that's not led by the Lord will lead to sin. And what might that sin be?
Well, and people don't realize that this is a sin, but worry, care, dread, anxiety, those are sins.
Yep, and you know
those
what?
Are sins. Maybe that's a wake-up call for you today. You didn't know that you were sinning like that. Worry, care, dread, and it's all rooted in what?
Fear.
In fear.
In fear. That's why it's a sin.
Yeah.
That's why it's a sin.
Yeah, and that'll drain you. Fear and anxiety will drain you. And that's why we have to really watch out for that. There are people who are champion worriers.
Worriers, yeah.
and they... they make that a part of their life and they don't realize that it's draining spiritual strength from them. Every time you worry, every time you carry the care, because the Lord's telling us to roll that care over onto Him. So that's not ours. Over 300 times, there is some form of the command, fear not, in the Bible. Worry and dread are forms of fear, and worry for a Christian is a sin. It is, and it really does deplete the spiritual energy in your life. So you have to make this decision, this quality decision. I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. I refuse to worry. I refuse to carry the care of that situation. I don't carry care whatsoever. And you find when you do that, it's going to lighten the load. See, you're carrying that. And we are not designed by God to carry care. The mind was not designed by Him to carry worry. No, on the contrary, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 in the Amplified Classic says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully.
You know, one of the things about the Lord you'll find out is that if you take the care and you're trying to do it, mm-hmm. He doesn't.
Yeah.
And the more you hold on to things, the less hold He has on things. And so we have to, and sometimes, George, I don't know about you, but when you're under pressure, especially with kids, mm-hmm. finances, mm-hmm. health, those things, relationships, those things, they just, your mind will just beat you to take the care, take the worry and say, that is not my care. And Jesus talked mm-hmm. about, don't take the thoughts saying, don't be anxious for anything. Yeah. You've got to go to the Word, what it says about being anxious and fearful. And it can be a moment by moment exercise.
Yeah.
Nope, I roll the care of that over on the Lord. That is not my care. And a few minutes later, what are we going to do about that? Is not my care. That is the care of the Lord.
Yeah,
but what about this? That is not my care. Yeah. I've rolled that over on the Lord. I refuse that. And you catch yourself right in the middle of thinking that and worrying and so forth. And don't pray worried prayers. You know, oh God. Sound like an old motorcycle. So, but that's not faith.
Yeah.
And it takes faith to put things in the hand of the Lord. Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to, you said the word exercise, and I just want to take a moment, and we're going to exercise ourselves in this. Say this after me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
No matter what's going on right now.
No matter what's going on right now.
In my life.
In my life.
I refuse to carry the care.
I refuse to carry the care.
I roll all the care.
I roll all the care.
Over onto you.
Over onto you, Lord.
For you care for me.
For you care for me.
I refuse to have anxiety.
I refuse to have anxiety.
On the contrary.
On the contrary.
I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
And not by fear.
And not by fear.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I refuse to fear.
I refuse to fear.
And you know, there are times you just have to say that. You have to declare that out loud. And it is scriptural. It's telling us the command, fear not. And you might want to just shout out loud, fear not.
Fear not. Yeah, talk to yourself.
Yeah.
I like what you always tell us to say. And you might want to write this down.
Oh, yeah.
Stick it on your mirror. I refuse the pressure and the stress and choose instead
to enter the rest.
And Hebrews 4 talks about the sin. He said it was a evil heart of unbelief to not enter into that rest that God had provided.
Yeah.
And so that's a bad.
So we've got another category?
Yep, yes. So another category of weights. So unnecessary weights. Now there are a lot of things that are necessary to our lives, but they become unnecessarily a weight. Okay?
Necessary to our lives.
But they become unnecessarily a weight.
Ooh, that's good.
Stitch it on a pillow.
Write that down.
Okay.
Wow.
If there are things in your life, things in our lives, in our world, our routine, but they don't add strength to you, even non-sin activities, they can be a drain. They will be a drain. Everything is, you know, physically picking this up, is a drain. It doesn't seem like much, and I've got plenty of strength for it. But if I did that over and over and over, especially unnecessarily, eventually it will wear me down. Mm-hmm. So there are things, breathing drains, so you have to refuel, you have to recharge, you have to strengthen yourself to be strong enough, especially to do more than just daily things. So here are some of the drains. We know, of course, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all mm-hmm. to the glory of God. Yeah. And if there's something that's not bringing the glory to God, drop it, get rid of it. Things that are integrated as a normal part of our lives, but they can become great obstacles. What would that be? TV, magazines, video games, shopping, buying. You know, mm-hmm. we all need to shop for things we need to buy, but we can become captivated by it till it begins to drain the bank account, but it's also draining to your spiritual, to your emotional, to your strength. Recreation is good. The Bible tells us we're supposed to do that. But if you become obsessed with that, or more about your entertainment, more into sport. I know people that will miss church to watch a sport on TV.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You know, and raised up their children. Well, we're just going to keep missing church because sports matter.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen and destroy children's lives. They're unprepared because the things of God never made first place. Well, our time is running short. Hobbies. Exercise. Exercise is excellent for you, but I've seen people make it a god. Food, overeating, but especially, Pastor, social media.
Oh, boy. That's
because
a big one.
If social media will suck you into everything, every work of the flesh, it'll lead you. Every kind, it's just, and the Bible says that in this age, there's an increase of knowledge. I would say there's an increase in the desire for knowledge.
Right.
I want to know what he says, she says, what they're doing, what that looks like, how that feels. Can I get that? Where do I get that? How many can I buy? And just this constant sucking sound for information and knowledge.
Yep. Yep.
Dr. Don Colbert said this to me one time. He said, Terry, do you like chocolate? I said, well, yeah, of course I do. And he said, you know why? He said, because he said it's got things in it that other things don't have. He said, it makes you feel good. It can give you a sense of delight and security. He said, no, that's a nice thing. He said, but it makes a lousy Holy Ghost substitute. So if your dependency is on anything, even good things other than the Lord, it makes a lousy Holy Ghost substitute.
And all of this life we're talking about begins with making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And that's what we want to do. You know, I know there are people out there watching right now. You may have stumbled upon this broadcast and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life because you've reached the end of your rope. I really feel like there's somebody watching us right now that has just really come to the very end of their life and even to the place of committing suicide. You're not going to do that. Why? Because there's a change coming right now. And if you'll repeat this after me, this prayer of faith to receive Jesus as Lord, that'll be stopped in your life. Are you ready?
But I want to say something, George. I've been impressed too that there are Christians. You say, well, I've prayed that prayer. Yeah. Well, no, Jesus is not Lord. Maybe he's Savior, but he's not Lord in your life right now.
Yep.
And so as we pray this prayer, you pray it with a freshness of commitment to the Lordship of Jesus.
That's right.
And if he didn't lead you down that path, it's not him. So, Pastor?
Say this out loud. Heavenly Father,
I receive Jesus.
As my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart, Jesus. Change my life. Father, I thank you. You are my healer. My deliverer. You're my financier. You take care of all of my life. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. And I will pray in other tongues. I receive this now.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Maybe you don't know what that means to pray in other tongues. It doesn't just mean, well, I'm praying to speak in French or German or something. No, that's the language of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And there's information about that in this book that we want to give to
you. Yeah, it's called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And it really does give you the basics of walking in this life in Christ. And you'll find out some things in here that you've never known, have never considered before. And it'll help you, as well as the brochures that we have, that you can start reading your Bible. You can start studying, and real honestly, your life can be cleaned up. You can be able to see clearly what God has for you to do. There are people, so many people out there that are living in a constant state of worry and care, and this is what receiving Jesus will do for you.
This book is a compilation of five smaller books. So this will talk to you about the new birth experience when you pray that prayer. But also, God's will is the Holy Spirit. Now are we in Christ Jesus. That's where your victory is. The force of righteousness and love, the secret to your success. Mm. And so even if you are a Christian, we want to offer this to you so that you have something that you can grow by. You just request yours today at kcm.org, the Salvation Package, or for other information there on your screen is how you can order yours.
Now remember, we're standing with you, we're believing God with you, and you are getting stronger. You're getting stronger in the Lord every single day. And stay with us through the rest of these broadcasts this week, because we have more information we're going to give to you about this. As we go, though, remember this. God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. It is called the Salvation Package. Learn about the new birth and how you can live your new life victoriously in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation. Keep your heart full of God's Word and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.
Find something life-giving on kcm.org, your study center for victory. View the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts on demand and study along with the daily broadcast notes, or download the audio podcasts to listen on the go. Watch prior KCM events for hours with truth going in your eyes and ears wherever you are. Get real help for real life problems. Follow our guide to believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply your way to results from your couch, desk, or kitchen table. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith every day. Read interactive BVOV magazines and click to unlock more content in each issue. Get a faith boost from testimonies of real-life success from people just like you. Find information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Read archives of Kenneth Copeland's partner letter and download free books from our bonus library. Over 50 titles available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.